got one of our students here attending Ohio State. She's on the KM side, Chungyeobu. Forgot her name. Christine. Hewoni. Yi Hewon. Do you guys know her? She's tall. She's about as tall as I am, and she's here. In fact, she's the one who kind of encouraged me to come. So there's a good thing that's happening here. And the amazing thing about Ohio is that it looks exactly like Pennsylvania. I flew in, I said, man, if you would have just dropped me off here, not knowing where I was, I would say I was in Pennsylvania. And everything looks very familiar. And even the church setting, the Korean church, I've served at a Korean church for a number of years. And as Pastor Isaac has mentioned, now I'm at a church, but also we have a school there, boarding school, a high school. We have about 130 students there from 27 different nations. And it's amazing working with high school students. I never knew that I would go back to youth ministry, but God has led me to youth ministry, and I'm really enjoying my time there. And you know what? I look forward to amazing things that God will do through us here tonight. You know, you guys are really blessed because you have a great pastor. Amen? You have a great pastor. He is a great guy. He came and picked me up at the airport. He fed me. We went out to this awesome Mexican restaurant. It was authentic because you know it's authentic when you see Latino people there eating. All right? And it was really good. And he stopped by at a grocery store. I didn't know. What is it called?
Meijer?
Yeah. Majeur? Majeur? That's how I would say it. But Meijer. And got me nice Fuji apples and Fuji apple and Fiji water, you know. He's really taking care of me, so I appreciate Pastor Isaac. He's a really great guy. And I found out he and I both know some people from Onuri Church that he served back in Korea. So praise God. Amazing thing is that even though I flew an hour and a half to be here, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I don't know anything about you guys, but I bet I can pretty much guess your life because we're the same. We're the same. We are all broken. Amen. We have struggles. We have things that we deal with every day. We're students, you know, exams, SAT, college, after graduation, graduating law school, now ready to go into the real world. I mean, these are all things that we all face regardless of where you are, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, where I lived, all three states, and here in Ohio. Same thing. It's all the same. So I pray that God would use this time, next 3 days. I'm going to say some things that you already know, pretty much, right? Most of you heard many sermons. You probably heard from many different pastors. So I'm not going to bring something to you that is totally new. In fact, if I bring to you something that is new, then you ought to kick me out, right? Because I'll be part of some cult. I'm going to be talking about the things that you already know. However, we seek God's Holy Spirit to revive us. I love the songs that we sang. Sister Joy, who led worship, and Joyce, and Esther, and Jihan, right? The keyboardist, that's four people that came early. The other people came late, so I didn't get their names. But man, you know, you guys are really blessed. They are really good praising. I've been to a lot of churches, and let me tell you, they don't sound as good as your praise team, and of course your pastor, multi-talented keyboardist, bass guitarist, and all that, man. You guys are really blessed, and you need to realize how blessed you are right here in this church. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a simple word, abide, abide, abide in God. Discipleship itself, I'm sure many of you like me went through many different programs, amen? Right? Bible studies after Bible studies. And when I start a new church or when I take a position as a pastor, you know, discipleship has always been on my mind. And I've read many, many books. I did many research to figure out, okay, how can we become disciples of Jesus Christ? Let me begin by just asking you a simple question. I mean, you are here tonight at church, so I don't think I'm going to offend you if I ask you, how many of you are followers of Jesus Christ? Amen. How many of you say, I'm a born-again believer? Amen. Right. How many of you are disciples of Jesus Christ? Oh, little less hands. So in our minds, discipleship is something different than being a Christian, right? Maybe it's young people. Well, by the end, hopefully we can help you that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is same thing as being a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And Pastor Isaac said I could go till about 11 p.m. tonight, so we'll do what we can. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 11. Tonight I'll be using ESV translation because it uses the word abide instead of remain. NIV uses the word remain, but I like the word abide. Now let us listen to the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. There's that word, disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in me, my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this evening.
Amen.
Let me pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for bringing me to this body of believers. But Father God, you and I both know I'm not worthy to stand here and proclaim your word. So I ask you to first hide me behind the cross. Wash me once again through the blood of your Son, Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord. Although I'm not worthy, Lord, it is you who have called me. It is you who have brought me here. So I surrender myself to you. I ask the Holy Spirit to use me to speak your word. Would you open the hearts of your people and help them to remember only your word tonight? That you unite us in one spirit tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How are you guys doing with your New Year resolution? Huh? How are you guys doing? It's October, right? We have about two and a half months left. Right? How are you doing? Doing pretty good? Right? I mean, some of you are very disciplined and you must be doing really good. Really well. You know, I kind of messed up. I mean, I do really well till about March. And then and as soon as spring comes, and it just kind of falls apart. You know, I'm trying to lose weight and it doesn't work. My wife is really good. She's able to do that. You know, she's able to eat four, you know, hard-boiled eggs every morning and she's okay. All right. But I'm not like that. Once I see some good food, I have to eat. You know, I have to eat. It's my weakness. So how is your New Year resolution? Are you working out more? Are you losing weight? Are you reading more, praying more, wanting to be successful? You know, I'm sure every year we make resolutions, right? We think of something that we must do, we want to do. We want to do better. Just do it, right? In fact, not just Christians, everyone around the world, every New Year we celebrate. Why? We get to start something that is fresh, something that is new. And people all over the world make new decisions, and they often based that decision on self-reliance, right? The great slogan of Nike, just do it. And we tell our young people, hey, if you dream it, if you put your heart and effort, you will become successful. However, that's a lie. That's a lie. Because life happens, circumstance happens, and it doesn't work out that way. We want to dream big and push hard, but sometimes life just happens. Things happen, right? Marriage happens. Children happen. Losing job happens. Illness. And all these things happen. And as Christians, we are taught we need to rejoice, right? Joy and joy. We need to rejoice. And how do we do that? How do we survive in this world? Do we put on a fake smile and pretend that everything is okay? Because growing up in church, I'm really good at that. My dad's a pastor too, so I grew up as a PK, problem kid, right? Yeah, I grew up. So I'm really good at saying things in front of people. Right? Oh, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, I love Jesus. Jesus is all I need. But deep inside, I'm struggling. Struggling. Different issues. Right? Perhaps addiction or habits or different things that you don't want to even mention in front of church, right? However, Jesus Christ, He gives us a very simple answer. And you already know the answer because I have revealed it to you. Abide, abide. You see, Jesus made things very simple. It's us who make it very complicated. Jesus never came up with different steps of discipleship. We did. Jesus never wrote a book on discipleship or you have to be in class A, new members class for a certain amount of time, and then after the new members class, you got to go to a mature class, right? And then you have to serve in this area, and you have to become a deacon and an elder, and once you become an elder, and then what? Oh, you are a mature Christian. Now you're ready. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. No. That's not the plan that Jesus had for us. Let me take you back in the time of Jesus' time when he spoke John chapter 15. He's speaking to his disciples, and it's about a week before Jesus is about to die on the cross. Disciples don't know that. But disciples spent last 3 years spending time with Jesus, eating with him, you know, spending time with him. And now Jesus is about to lay down something, a firm command, if you will. This is what I want you to do as disciples, okay? This is what it means to follow me. And you would think Jesus gave them a grand steps, right? This is what I want you to do. First 3 years, this is what I want you to do. First 5 years, 10 years, this is what I want you to do. And ultimately, Matthew 28, right? 19-20, Great Commission. I want you to go to the ends of the earth and make disciples, right? So what is this plan that Jesus is laying down before his disciples? He spends all this time talking about abide in me, be in me. Basically, Jesus is telling us that when we try to live our life on our own, there's something missing. There's no eternal value when we try to live on our own. And the sad reality is, even Christians, many of you raise your hand being a Christian, even Christians, we try to live this world on our own will. You know, do you guys have Walmart here? Okay. There's a big super Walmart. I mean, I live in country. You can smell the country every morning. Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. We probably have more cows than human beings. Somehow God led me there. And before I was there, I was in Maryland, metropolitan area, about 30 minutes from D.C., serving at an EM church, thriving church, just bought a house with my three daughters, you know, beautiful wife, enjoying American dream. I had it all. And somehow God moved me to Chambersburg. And I'm going to share that with you probably tomorrow, but we go to Walmart. I don't like Walmart. We used to go to Target, but we don't have Target, so we have to go to Walmart. We go to Walmart and I wonder, sometimes, I mean, I stand up because where I live in Chambersburg, there are 2% Asian population. 2%. And we know them all. One is Asian buffet. She has three girls, just like us. Kenzo Japanese restaurant. He has two sons, twins, and an older daughter, right? And another guy working in a China buffet near Walmart right there, Supreme Buffet. Yeah. You go there. If you come, just say, hey, Sam Stalin. They know how to make the hibachi because he knows all the sauce that I put in there because we go there all the time. That's it. That's the Asian population. So even when I'm at Walmart, I stand out as a Korean. Oh. And because I don't look at myself, I don't realize that I'm Asian. Have you guys done that, right? You just walk around and then all of a sudden you look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh yeah, that's right. You're not white. You're an Asian, right? But sometimes, you know, I forget that I'm a Christian. Oh, I get upset when somebody cuts me off in the highway. It doesn't happen often where I live now, but when I was down in Maryland, my goodness, on 270, oh, terrible. And these people are just driving fast, try to get edge, but you know, you're not getting anywhere faster. Everybody's just going, right? Sometimes I forget that I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, and nobody can tell that I'm a Christian. Why do I say that? Because even as Christians, we live life on this earth as though we're not. There's something missing. There's something missing. There's no joy. There's no happiness. The songs that we sang this evening, you know, it really touched my heart, but maybe it's just words on a screen. It doesn't really affect my life. What Jesus is saying, that in order for us to have something that will last forever, something that has eternal value, we have to be connected to Jesus Christ. You know, there are many successful people in this world who has money, who has fulfillment, but without God, they realize their life is meaningless. Even this year, oh man, some people I really like. Kate Spade, remember her? You guys? I just bought my wife that bag. She committed suicide. Remember that? And then what's his name? Anthony Bourdain. Oh, I used to love his show, man. Parts Unknown, CNN. I don't watch CNN. That's the only show I watch on CNN. But he committed suicide. Right? Why? Successful people. Lots of money. They can travel. I mean, my goodness, you travel the world and taste all these food and you get to talk. Oh, I turned it off. You get to talk about this food. And he committed suicide. Why? Something was missing in his life. I mean, you see so many people in our world today who are successful, who achieve a lot of things without Jesus, right? My goodness. They're very people who are successful. Jeff Bezos, he lost a lot of money because of the stock, but he's still very rich, right? Over $100 billion worth. I mean, what are you saying, Jesus? That it doesn't have true value? There are things in this world that would entice us, I'm sure. All of you guys look very smart. Many of you professionals, right? And that's what our parents have taught us. They came here so that we could receive education here. They came here so that we could succeed and live an American dream, but is it? As Christians, there's got to be something more. In fact, Jesus is revealing to his disciples, things that I'm giving to you, these are things that you can never earn. Salvation itself is not something that we can earn. Every deed that we do apart from Jesus Christ, it's a deed seeking glory for who? Myself, isn't it? Anything that I do in my own will or my own strength, what we're doing is we're building our own pride. Oh, look what I have done. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I left my previous church. I started, I came to this church, a Korean church, a senior pastor said, hey, Sam, why don't we start EM ministry? EM ministry. Yeah. Okay. So we started with 12 people. 12 people. And the congregation began to grow and grow and grow. Not because I was great, but because we're in the perfect location. We were 30 minutes from DC, so we got people from FBI, CIA, I mean, you name it, Homeland Security, government, FDA, all these people are living right in our neighborhood. So once they realized, okay, there's an EM church starting, people had interest. And they came, and I'm a people person, so I would go visit them and talk with them, and one thing led to another. And each year, we almost doubled every year. 8 years later, I served there. We had over 400 people. Wow, one of the largest EM church in Maryland. Yeah, praise God. But I realized it was myself I was struggling with. I was building this church, but these people did not want to sacrifice. These people were happy, were content with their own life. So I struggled. What should I do, Lord? And God told me, you need to leave. I just bought a house 2 years ago. What are you talking about? You have to leave. Go where? You need to go. So God takes me to Pennsylvania. Back then, 2.5 years ago, we only had 20 students. 20. 20 students with a handful of teachers. This is where you want me to go, God. Yeah, this is where I want you to go. My wife didn't want to go. My three girls didn't want to go. So I prayed. I prayed, prayed, and prayed. Finally, I said, well, Jungsu, you have to agree. Because if you don't agree, then I'm not going to go. And she said, if God really wants you to go, can you tell me that this is God's will? So I said, yeah, I think this is where God wants me to go. So we made a decision to go. You see, there's something in our life that is more valuable than money. There's more that's more valuable than the success of this world. But even Christians, we're so blinded by the things of this world that we miss out the real joy. What we really have and what we really hold. And Jesus is reminding us once again, that without me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing in verse 5. No amount of planning, no amount of activity, no amount of education will be able to succeed in anything. That's what Jesus is telling us. You basically become a big tree, and yet you have nothing to show for. Nothing to show for. No fruit. Not a single fruit. So Jesus is telling us that we cannot do anything without Him. But if you flip that around with Him, then everything becomes possible. Verse that we know very well, Philippians chapter 4, 13 records, Paul says, I can do what? All things, everything, right? Through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Mark 10, 27, Jesus says, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Amen? Amen. So Jesus' message is very, very simple. Abide in me, be with me, attach yourself to my vine, that you are able to do everything. You are able to bear fruit. But without me, you can't do nothing. You know, nothing means not little of something. Nothing means what? Big back zero. Nothing means nothing. A person who is drawing life from the Savior has God's Spirit moving inside of us. We sang those songs, right? Let the Holy Spirit move inside of us. Do you sense the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Do you really? Because I know many Christians, they don't feel the power of the Holy Spirit. even myself included. For many, many years, I never felt the power of Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the whole charismatic movement, okay? I'm not talking about that. But really, do we truly believe that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one? And do you really sense the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? And often the answer is no. And you know why? Because we don't seek it. We live life as though we're detached from God. God is something that we worship. God is someone that we worship. God is someone that we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ in church. But when I'm at school, when I'm at work, when I am with my friends, I'm detached. I'm no longer Christian. I'm no longer that person. We only seek the power of the Holy Spirit when we are with other believers. When God is moving through us, I have seen amazing things happen. I have seen God change the heart of a person. I really have. When was the last time you saw someone change because of the gospel or because of the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that? If you believe it, then it must be happening, right? But many churches, you don't experience God in their lives. Yes, read more Bible. Yes, pray more. Yes, sing more. Yes, give more. But do you experience the mighty power of God? Church, when God began to move through us, we can see God moving all these obstacles in front of us. I have seen it last 2 years. God has really blessed me. Not because of me, but God is revealing to me, yes, Sam, you made the right choice. Yes, you left that church and you went to place I called you to go. From 20 students, now we have 135. Plus 68 exchange students that come every semester. So close to 200 students. We had no idea. Those 20 students that I mentioned 2.5 years ago, they were all from Korea. And our number one priority at our school was, do not speak Korean. We are international school. We are international school, but they're all Korean. Korean teachers, Korean principal, Korean chaplain. But no Korean. We all have to speak English. But you know, it's very hard to discipline Korean students from Korea without speaking Korean. So when I get upset, what do? Hajima! Start speaking Korean. That was it. But 2 years later, God opened the door with this sports program on our campus. We have a basketball and baseball sports program where students from Australia, Russia, nation of Georgia, Ukraine, Africa begin to come. They want to be part of an NBA, MLB. So they come. God somehow brought professional baseball player to our campus. He began this program. Something that I never envisioned. So now, only after 2 years, we have 27 nations represented in our body, and we don't know what to do with them. We're hiring staff. We're hiring teachers. That's how God works when you begin to trust in Him. Things happen not because of our technique. Things happen not because we are equipped, but things happen because you attach yourself to Jesus Christ. Church, you must abide in Jesus Christ. What is the word abide means? I chose this in ESV because you use the word abide instead of remain. Remain feels like you can just kind of leave anytime. But abide, it has a meaning where it's you live in there. That's where you dwell. That's where your home is. My home is Scotland, Pennsylvania. Most of you, your home is Columbus, Ohio, right? This is where you live. This is where you abide. And Jesus is saying that I need to be that place. I need you to be in me, attached to me. And that's the simple message that he's telling us tonight. You see, in Christ, success is not measured by what we have or what we have accomplished, but rather it's about who we become. Can others see Jesus through us? Can others see a reflection of Jesus through us? Only way we can become something that God will be proud of is when we abide in His Son, Jesus. Amazing thing begins to happen when we abide in Jesus. We get to bear fruit. Fruit. I had one of those Fuji apples before I came tonight. They're good. Delicious. Pennsylvania has a good apples too. I didn't know there are so many different apples. You know, living down in Maryland near D.C., we just go to Lotte Mart. We had a Lotte Mart, H Mart, yes. Go there. Now I have to drive an hour and a half to get to H Mart. It's terrible. You just go there, buy Fuji apple, because Fuji apple is what we eat. Koreans eat Fuji apple, right? I went to the apple orchard. The lady over there had 26 baskets of different apples. 26! I only know about four. Pink Lady is a really good apple. It's early season apple. You should try Pink Lady. And then the late season, after Fuji. Fuji comes about next week is the right time, okay? Next week, October, towards the end of October, there's a Fuji season. See, I became a professional at this. But late October, early November, the last blooming apple is called Honeycrisp. Oh, some of you know. Yeah, Ohio, Pennsylvania, I'm telling you, you guys are very similar. Honeycrisp, that's my favorite now. I didn't know how good this Honeycrisp apple was. Man, it's delicious. So anytime my visitors come from Maryland, I just buy them Honeycrisp, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. I never had an apple like this, right? You see, in order for you to bear a good fruit, you must abide in Jesus, okay? Everyone gets that. But when you abide in Jesus, you bear this fruit that everybody wants a little bit of. That's the amazing thing. You see, that's how we ought to share our gospel. That's how we evangelize to other people. Not by, hey, what's going to happen to you if you die? Huh? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or to hell? Huh? That's not the way we need to evangelize. The way we ought to evangelize is, hey, taste this fruit, man. This is amazing. Right? Now, when I go back to Pennsylvania, guess what? Anybody that comes to Columbus, Ohio, I say, hey, check out the Mexican restaurant. It's awesome. Why? Because I have experienced it. I ate that taco. I didn't know what was in it, but it was good. Right? It was good. So next time when somebody says they're going to Columbus, Ohio, I say, hey, go check out that restaurant. See? That's what needs to happen in our life. Oh, Lord Jesus, we sing to you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. But I don't feel you. Why? Because we're not attached to Him. What are the fruit that Jesus is talking about here? Salvation, yes. But also He's talking about fruit of character, right? Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we mentioned. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, a person who is truly drawing life from the vine will be manifesting Christ-like in their personality, characteristic. It just comes out. And when I met Brother Isaac, I mean, at the airport, I never met him before, but somehow I felt like I knew him. I did see him leading worship at Onuri years ago when I visited the church. But I somehow I felt like I knew him. You know why? Because a glow of Jesus Christ is shining through your pastor. You can see it. And that needs to happen to all of us. As I was flying over here, I sat next to this lady who's from Florida, and she comes here every weekend. Do you know why she comes here? Every weekend. Every weekend. She comes here. Football. I'm sorry, not every weekend. Every home game that is a game here. She flies here every home game. So she flew up here. I was like, man, that's amazing. That's a hardcore, you know, fan base. Man, and I realized half of the plane was filled with people with Ohio State jacket, hats, something. Half of the plane, Southwest from Baltimore to Columbus, Ohio, half of them. And so I checked online, okay, there's a game tomorrow at noon. Revival's at 10, right? So we have to make sure it ends at noon. But we play, I mean, notice how I say it now. We play against, right? Ohio State play against, you know who we play against? Minnesota. You know what their record is? Like 2-3. It's not even a good team. And people fly all over from the United States to watch this game. Amazing. And they're so proud of their team. This guy had a jacket. I mean, he's probably in his 70s, and he's wearing his school jacket. And all I have to say is, are you a fan? And he spoke to me for like 20 minutes. It's an hour flight, but 20 minutes he was telling me about, oh, yeah, back in the days. And I don't even know anything. I don't know anything about why. I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. She was evangelizing to me. He was evangelizing to me. I'm sitting in the middle seat because Southwest, I didn't know. So it's the second time I'm flying Southwest. You don't have a designated seat. Do you guys know that? You just go in. You know, because I took my time. I went to the bathroom and said, you know what, just seat to seat. I was like the last person going. Every seat was filled except that one middle seat. This old lady and this really big guy. So I had to sit right in the middle seat. And both of them were fans. And they didn't even ask me if I was a fan. They already assumed that I was going to the fans. Right? People spend money, take vacation time to cheer for a football game. You know what? That's the way that we ought to share the gospel. That's the way we ought to share the love of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? By being abided in Jesus. How do we do that? In the text, Jesus says, every branch in me that bears fruit is pruned. There's no exception. Jesus says, hey, first of all, you need to start bearing some fruit. I need to see some evidence in your life that you are truly attached to me. But once I see some evidence, guess what? I'm going to prune you. Verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The entire verse that I read from verse 1 through 11, the word abide comes out 10 times. Let me tell you, we learned this in seminary, right, Moksanim? When the Bible repeats, in Moksanim, right? When Bible repeats words over and over, guess what? It's pretty important. You circle it. Abide, 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 abide. And again, he says abide. And he says, I will prune you. You know what prune means? You cut off different branches. This past week, I was in Europe. I was in France and Germany. We had a conference there, so I went there. Man, and then we drove by the Rhine River. Rhine River, I'm saying it right. And next to the Rhine River, they're known for white wine. I don't drink, so I have no idea. But the guy, man, he went on and on talking about the grapes. And you see this grape. Do you call it vine? Not tree, right? Vines. Okay, grapevine. You see it. There's a one trunk that is about this wide. Comes from the ground. And then there are many, many branches. And the guy asked me, how old do you think that one grapevine is? So I said, 20 years, 30 years. He said, that grapevine right there is 300 years old. He says, in order to get the best white wine, the grapevine needs to be anywhere between 80 to 150 years of age. Exactly. That's what I did. I said, what? So basically, you're planting this vine for your grandkids. Literally, you are planting a grapevine on the ground for your grandkids because you can't touch it. And he says, everybody thinks the harvest is the hardest part because you harvest. But he says, no, harvest is the easiest part. All you have to do is use a machine and use other lay people and they can harvest. The hardest part is in the month of December, January, and February. And why is that? Because during in the middle of winter, the owner of the vineyard, the vine dresser, God, I learned this firsthand. He actually has to go through each vine and cut off small branches. He looks at the one branch that will bear fruit the following season. And all winter, he has to go through every tree or bush or vine, whatever you call it. And he has to do this. He has to prune every single tree. And he takes them all winter. So the owner of the vineyard has to work by himself because you can't do that with the machine. You pick and decide which vine will bear most fruit, which branch will bear most fruit, and then you cut off the other small branches around them. So this word came to me. I'm like, yes, this is what I'm going to preach in Columbus, Ohio. Perfect illustration. That's what Jesus is doing. See, if you are attached to me, if you are abiding in me, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to prune you. And pruning process is not fun for us, right? Basically, he's cutting off some of the things, unnecessary things. You see, many people, even Christians today, think, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ and you will be blessed, right? God will give you wealth, health, and all other things that you need. That's not the case. The true blessing from God is the fact that I'm abiding in Jesus Christ and he is pruning me. He is shaping me to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you here are going through some of that pruning process. Right? You are struggling. Praise the Lord. Because God loves you so much, God doesn't want you to remain in that state. So he's shaping you. He's changing you. You see, contemporary people, society thinks that blessings are synonymous with something that's easy enjoyment. It's like buying a lottery ticket and once, you become a millionaire. No, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. True blessing. God's definition of blessing is anything that moves us towards Christ. That is why Paul himself, in the prison, as he was writing to the church at Philippi, more than any other book, talks about rejoice, rejoice, and rejoice. Why? Because he realized, even in prison, because he was so close with Jesus Christ, he was abiding with Jesus Christ, he was connected to Jesus Christ, he felt that joy. And his joy was so overwhelming, he couldn't help but to worship God, even in prison. So for Christians, a painful experience can indeed be a great blessing from God. Why? Because God is committed to developing us, to prune us, to reshaping us. You see, all we have to do is abide in him. All we have to do is attach to him. As I shared with you, I read many books. I tried many different programs. I taught many discipleship courses at my church. But I realize it's just a vicious cycle, right? You just go up and down, up and down. Do you know how we can maintain that? When we seek Jesus. Okay, Pastor Sam, you said enough about abiding, abiding. What does that mean? So what do I have to do? The answer is, you have to eat, sleep, think of Jesus. Really do. And it's very easy. How many of you have one of these? I guarantee you. And somebody's holding it right now. On my trip to Germany, I took 27 eighth graders with me. On that flight, 9-hour flight, guy that was sitting next to me, the whole time, he was playing game on his phone. The whole time. He didn't sleep a wink. When the battery ran out, he took out his other portable batteries and attached it and played the game all the time. I didn't say a word because I wanted to observe. I wanted to see how long he would play. He literally played the whole 9 hours, played games, right? When you wake up in the morning, this is the first thing that you look at. Before you go to bed, this is the last thing that you look at. Isn't that amazing? No one has to tell you to look at your phone. You do it automatically. When you're waiting in line, it just comes out automatically. Right? You're like, oh my goodness, I have 4 Kakao messages right now. Okay. You gotta check. Automatic. You need to switch this with Jesus. That's it. Answer is very simple. I tell my kids, I don't want to be those parents that force faith upon them, but I say, hey, as much as you look at your phone, do you look at the Bible? As much as you look at your phone, do you pray? As much as you look at your phone, do you just think, think about God. Do you think about God? While you're working, while you're driving, do you think about God? You know, that's it. That's what Jesus wants from us. He doesn't want us to build a program. He doesn't want us to build a mega church. He doesn't want us to do any of that. He says, just be with me. Right? My parents live in Korea. And I love my mom because she never says, you never call. You never, she never says any of that. She just sends me a very short Kakao message. 바쁜가 봐. You must be busy. That's it. And then I realize, oh. There's a lot of video chat. Oh, hi mom. Yeah, how are you doing? Oh, 그냥. That's her way of letting me know that she misses me, that it's been a while since I contacted her, right? Yeah. I believe Jesus is doing the same thing. Revelation chapter 3, right? We know the verse. Jesus is standing at the door of our heart and knocking at the door. That's not for non-believers. That's for church believers. Jesus is knocking at our heart. He said, hey, man, you've been staring at that phone for 2 hours. Come on. I'm knocking. Huh? You've been watching the football for all this time. I am knocking. Right? Lord is checking to see if his vineyard, the church right now, will be considered a dead branch. A branch that is weak and barely functioning, or is a branch that is bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And my blessing to you guys, man, because I know this. This is a great church. Pastor Lee, man, even though I have never met him, I heard so much things about him. What a great man of God. This is a great church. But I believe this church has more to do. I hope this church will not become a church that is just self-sufficient and just say, hey, we're just happy with ourselves. No. You need to let others just taste the fruit. Hey, look what we got. Just taste it. There's a company called David and Harry. Is that right? Or Harry and David? Either way. It's a company, they sell fruit. Right? Royal pear. Royal pear. Have you ever had it? Oh my goodness. It just melts in your mouth. You just put this fruit inside your mouth. It just melts. And I used to order that stuff before, you know, when I was working at a big church. Church member would buy those things for me, you know, pastor. And the moment I tasted that fruit, I was like, oh my goodness. This is the best thing that I ever tasted. Right? So what did I do? I sent that out to our senior pastor. Oh, 목사님, try this fruit. 집사님, try this fruit. 장모님, try this fruit. It's amazing. They said, wow, yes, it's really good. I never knew that American pear could taste this good. It tastes better than Korean pear. really is that good. Right? Evangelism, being a Christian, is not difficult. It's just that we have made it difficult. Church has made it difficult. Once you have tasted and seen how good our Lord Jesus is, then it becomes very easy. So before you think about discipleship, I want you to get back to abiding in Jesus Christ. Open up that precious book, the Bible, and begin to read. You don't need a curriculum. One of the mistakes that we have made in our generation, we made it too curriculum-based with videos and DVDs and fun coloring books and all these things. And yet we don't teach Bible. Yes, it is our responsibility as pastors to teach you guys what the Word of God says, but it is your responsibility to open it up and begin to read. Man, some of the books that you read at school, high school student, my daughter's a freshman in high school, and she brings me this homework and says, "Dad, I don't understand." And I said, "You know, Google it." Because I don't understand. I'm a little bit behind, man. I didn't learn that kind of stuff, right? The math that I knew back then is not the math that they learn today. I don't know what... I mean, math should be simple, right? It should be the same. They shouldn't change math. I don't know why they change math. But you guys read all that complicated documents and textbooks. But somehow we think, even though I attended church for 5, 10, 20 years, not knowing where the book of Nahum is, it's okay. It's a Malachi or Malachi. It's okay. It's all right. You don't need to know that. Shame on us. We need to know. We need to know God's word. People have dedicated their lives so that we could have this precious word. I know all of you have it in your phone. I have 4 different Bible apps on my phone. In my Kindle, I have over 200 books. Right? Wow. Right here. Amazing. Use technology for God's glory. Use technology to do His will. Instead of playing meaningless games or looking at meaningless things. When we begin to abide in God, look what verse 8 says. By this, my Father is glorified. God the Father is glorified when we attach ourselves to His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, that you will bear much fruit. And it says at the end, so prove to be my disciples. If you wear Ohio State outfit, everybody will know that you are Ohio State fan. How would others see you and tell that you are a disciple of Jesus? Will others know that you are a disciple of Jesus? And I'm not going to give you details. You need to figure it out on your own. You are smart enough. Figure it out on your own. How can my coworkers, how can my wife, my husband, my children know that I'm a Christian, that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? Pray for that. Tonight, pray for that. God, I want the world to know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I want the world to know that I'm abiding in you, that I'm connected to you. I want the world to know that I'm bearing fruit for you. So use me. Work through me. Let the Holy Spirit flow through me. And as the Holy Spirit flows through me, allow me to be the channel of blessing to other people. Because let me tell you, church, the fruit is for other people. It is not for you. God wants us to bear fruit so that others may taste and see how good our Lord is. So that ultimately others may join this congregation. So others may see the joy of Jesus Christ living inside of us so that they get energized. And when we begin to do that, we can turn this world upside down. And I pray, even though this is our first night, that God will stir your heart. Because you guys are all good people. But I do believe that there needs to be a revival by reconnecting and abiding in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. I'd like to spend a few minutes after the message, just give you time to pray before God. I've said a lot of things, but really, allow Holy Spirit to come and speak to you. What are some areas in your life that Holy Spirit is convicting you right now? If you're like me, you've been on this path for many, many years, attending church, worshiping God. But deep inside, you have lost that joy. There's no excitement. You don't experience God in your life. I believe that is why God has sent me here. To remind each other that there is true joy. And this joy is something that is far bigger than the success of this world. And so many of us have been blinded by the things of this world. So why don't we just give back? One of my favorite songs is from Casting Crown. Song titled Be Held. I love that song. You know what God wants us to do? Just be held. Just be held in His hand. So could we just spend this time tonight to say, Lord, I just surrender my life to You. I just surrender myself to You. I don't have the answer. But Lord Jesus, I just want to be attached to You. Would You come? Father God, I just ask right now that You would touch Your people. Help us to abide in You. Help us realize what that means to abide in You, Lord Father. Whatever that we need to let go, Lord Father, would You give us boldness to let go? Perhaps we just need to admit to You that the sins in our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Invade us, Lord Father. Just have Your way in us. Speak to us, Lord Father. This moment, Lord Father, I pray that You would touch us as we surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue to pray as our praise team lead us in a few songs at this time.